32 minutes past the hour. This is your wake-up call on Sports Country. And we're joined by Mike DeMauro, columnist for the New London Day. And Mike has covered both UConn men's and women's basketball. Big baseball fan. I like him despite the fact that he's a Yankee fan. I try not to hold that against him. But Mike, how are you this morning?
Gene, what's going on?
Well, I know you have opinions on everything, so I thought you were the perfect guy to ask. Yesterday, the Supreme Court comes down to legalize gambling, or at least open the door for legalized gambling across the country. So let's just start it off by asking, where do you fall on this whole thing? I mean, are you concerned at all about the potential Pandora's box that this could open up?
No, because I think people have been betting on sports and everything else since the beginning of time. So I'm kind of falling into the camp of, well, what took you so long?
Well, my question, and here's somebody who's covered college sports the way that you have. I don't worry so much about professional sports. I really don't. I worry more about the potential for problems down the road in college sports, where these kids could be approached by somebody that says, hey, do me a favor. We got to make sure they cover the spread. So miss this shot late in the game, you know, so somebody covers the spread. Maybe I'm out to lunch and maybe it's far fetched, but I worry about that more than anything, because those are the kinds of kids that would be more, if there's going to be a problem, that's where it's going to arise.
Well, to your point, Gene, it's already happened.
Right.
You know, BC did that, 30, 40 years ago, whenever it was. And, and the way they did it was pretty smart. Don't ever lose. Just don't win by enough.
Right.
Which is really, Gene, see, here's the thing. If Henry Hill didn't open his mouth in court, they would still not have gotten caught.
True. That's a good point.
So I'm not saying that you're wrong. I mean, I think it could happen. But I think that right now I think they would look at it this way. There is a, air quotes here, greater good to be, to be thought about, just in terms of, this is a great way to generate revenue, and certainly in this state, couldn't we use that?
Go ahead.
So the question becomes to me, and I read about this yesterday. Do the casinos have exclusivity on this? In other words, the only place you can make a sports bet is Mohegan and Foxwoods, or are these going to be, are we going to open this up to the equivalent of, OTB parlors throughout the state?
I had not thought about that. And I know the tribes have already come out and said they think they should be the ones to handle, and they think that they already have that somehow part of their agreement that they've already made with the state. They believe they should be the ones to do it, and only them. So obviously they're going to try to monopolize it. It's in their best interest to do so. Same with any casino operator.
Oh, sure. But I think you have the practical issue of, and I know you can do it electronically, but the guy who lives in, Litchfield County, that's not exactly an easy drive.
Right.
The Ledyard. It'd be nice if he could go downtown and, bet the Giants. So I'm not sure. I'd be interested to see where that goes. I would just hate to see sort of a legal technicality. Maybe it's a little more than that, but, hold this up. Because, I don't know. I grew up around people who bet on sports illegally their whole lives.
Right.
And they liked it. They looked forward to it. They had fun.
Well,
and I mean, I've bet on them. I stopped maybe 15 years ago because, a sports writer's bank account just doesn't allow that.
Right.
If I had money, Gene, I would bet on how fast it could take me to get to my kitchen right now.
Well, but think about it. In some ways, Mike, the whole fantasy sports thing is gambling.
Gambling.
What they're doing with DraftKings and all that stuff now—that's gambling. It's
yep.
in a different
and
package.
And they do it for money.
Right, exactly. And that so it's not that much different when you come right down to it. Frankly, the people that are probably the most upset about this whole thing is the mob. Because they're the ones that are going to be losing the revenue. I mean, from the illegal betting. I mean, those are the guys that have to be the most pissed about this. Wouldn't you think?
No, Gene, I talked to somebody that who's been an old friend of mine who's been known to take a bet or two.
Yeah.
In his life, and he said he didn't think his business would be too altered by this for one reason. When he takes a bet, say over the phone,
yep.
you don't have to front the money.
Right.
Give me a parlay of the Pats and the Browns 10 times.
Right.
Okay. So now that's a $50 bet.
Right.
But you don't have to, when it comes time to pay, you have to pay. But that at that moment, you're not paying.
Right. Well, and I kind of
the difference with this is you got to hear. Here's $50.
Right. Well, and
he thinks that would be a pretty big deal.
Well, it might be, but at the same time, I'd rather put the $50 up front than have to worry about not being able to pay it back later and getting some damage done to me. That's the difference.
Well,
here.
Good point. Yep. But anyway, I did ask him and he said, I don't think he was thrilled about it,
right.
but he says to me all the time, listen, there's a reason I go to the Bahamas 2 weeks every year. So, I think his business is doing fine.
I get it. Yeah. That makes sense. Now, you having covered UConn as long as you have, let's look at this other issue that could come up here, and especially as it relates to basketball. The NCAA currently will not sponsor events where there's gambling. And look, the NCAA has never been accused of being the most progressive organization in the world. Now, so is this ruling going to force them to change that policy? I mean, they could end up with 15 states in the country where they can't go if they're going to keep this rule. What are they going to do?
So Gene, here's my, what does the NCAA and the CIAC like more than anything else in the entire world?
Money.
So if Connecticut decides to pass this law and we have, say, a women's basketball regional that could be played right here where they're going to get 10,000 people or no, we can't play it here because of gambling. We go play it in, Savannah, Georgia, where there'll be 13 people in the stands. What do you think they're going to do?
Yeah. They're going to change their rule.
I think their ethics will follow the money.
That's the cynical view.
Very cynical view. But when you've dealt with these people for as long as we have,
right,
you realize it comes down to one thing, money.
Well, I mean, well,
and how to make more of it.
Yeah, well, and that's I think why the states are going, I think most of them, I wouldn't say most of them, but I would bet half the states in the country are going to get on board with this because they're, it's all about the money, and they're going to realize that they need this money and what they can do with it. But on this, along those lines, Mike, the pro sports leagues are already trying to figure out how to get a cut of the action. So on one hand, you can have Rob Manfred of MLB saying, "Oh my God, gambling's the worst thing ever," but on the other hand, he's saying, "Okay, now how can we get some of it?" You know, I mean,
of course.
So they're going to say that it's because, oh, we're going to need to hire more people to make sure the players are educated and there's oversight and everything else. You know, and I say they're going to spend about $2 million on that, and then the other $100 million they got is going in somebody's pocket.
Well, I would say this, short of Jesus, Gandhi, Mother Teresa, and I don't know, a handful of others, ethics have a price tag too.
Right.
So all of their gambling is evil. You know, we compromise the integrity of the game and all that other stuff is fine until, whoa, we can make money here. Maybe it's not so bad after all. Hey, I'll give you an example of me. I'm going to say month and a half ago, I noticed the direct deposit from my paycheck is like $100 more than it usually is. And I call HR and I go, "Did we get a raise?" And I didn't. Did I? What's going on? She says, "No, this is the new Trump tax plan." And I said, "Gee, maybe he isn't such a bad guy after all."
Well,
it's true. I mean, you know, like you leave my guy Don alone. You know.
Well, okay, I'll give you that.
True, Gene.
Yeah, no, you're right.
You wave dollar signs, and that changes everything.
Okay, well, the one other issue I want to raise about this, and this is where I think the big fight's going to be, is whether the whole gambling issue is going to be regulated by the states, or is the federal government going to get involved? And there seems to me to be potential policing problems if we have 50 states passing gambling rules, and all 50 states have different rules about how you do it and what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. That's, to me, is where things could kind of get ugly. And I'm not a big fan, by the way, of having the government, you know, trying to run my life. But, you know, this is a case where I wonder if the federal government does need to be involved to try to standardize this in some way.
The question is, can you? I don't know. The answer to that question is, I don't know. Is there a one-size-fits-all here? I don't know. I'm with you. I would rather not see the government get involved. And it's like, well, how are they doing so far? You know,
right.
with everything that they get involved in.
True.
But you do, uniformity would seem to be practical here because, 50 states, 50 different ways, you know. It's so, Gene, so how about given Foxwood is essentially on the Rhode Island border,
right?
Gambling is not legal in Rhode Island, but it is in Connecticut. You come to Foxwoods, make a huge bet, and you win $100,000 on a game.
Right.
Who is, you know, now you have tax issues. Well, I don't live in Rhode Island. I don't live here. I live there. Why are you taking money out?
Right.
You know, that kind of thing.
Okay.
So I do think. Now, the question becomes, is there anybody in the federal government smart enough to do this?
That's a big question.
That's a major question.
That may be the key question.
Yeah.
Well, listen, before I let you go, I have to – I'd be remiss if I didn't raise this as the Yankee fan that you are. And he's not on the Yankees anymore, but the whole Robinson Cano thing that just came down yesterday. Joel Sherman had a piece in the New York Post yesterday where he said that there was some concerns in the past and maybe some whispers because of who Robinson Cano's best friends were, that maybe they suspected that he was involved with PEDs in New York, and that's why they didn't sign him. Is that something that, that you had heard about?
I read the same thing. Gene, I thought Sherman raised a really good point that his two best friends on the Yankees were A-Rod and Melky Cabrera.
Right.
And, you know, we all know their past. So your two best friends are doing something and you're not.
Right.
So I can see where that, I can see where, well, first of all, I think Brian Cashman did the right thing on its face, you know, not to give him that kind of money.
And 10 years, but, by the way.
And 10 years. They had good reason. They had very good reason not to. You know, it's fascinating to me how the Yankees have were able to retool themselves the way they did and still not have a losing season.
Right.
You know, 2-3 years ago, things weren't great. They were 84 and 78, but they still gave you a reason to watch. You know, it wasn't like they were, you know, 60 and 102.
Yeah, they weren't the Marlins.
You know? Right. Right.
Well,
so,
I kind of come down on, even though I'm not a huge Yankee fan, as you know, I actually think, you know, everybody talks about what a great GM, like somebody like Theo Epstein has been. I mean, I think you can make the point that Brian Cashman may be the best general manager in baseball. I mean, I think you can actually make that case.
Yeah, and I think that Cashman was always, I think the, you know, the naysayers would say, well, anybody can do that with the payroll that he's got, you know, except that he's done this by actually trimming payroll.
Right.
I mean, it's the Yankees still have a very high payroll and they're always going to, but, you know, they are not they don't have the highest one anymore.
Right.
And with as many young players as they have, you know, who they can pay peanuts to over the next few years, you know, they can probably stay under the luxury tax if they want and still have, are they the best team? You know, they're right there.
Oh, it's hard to argue that,
you know,
they're not.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, it's funny. I think they're kind of hard to hate right now.
Well,
I mean,
look, I'm a Red Sox fan. Take it easy with that.
Well, you can hate the entity of the Yankees, of course. But, you know, Aaron Judge, you know, Gary Sanchez, Didi, I mean, they seem likable guys.
Yeah, well, I have to tell you, I actually like Aaron Judge because this is a young guy that looks like he's having the time of his life. You know, he smiles a lot.
Well,
he looks like he's really enjoying himself, which you love to see that.
Well, you know, what's not to enjoy? He's probably the most recognizable athlete. Well, who's the most recognizable athlete in New York right now? It's got to be him or Eli Manning, I would say, still, right?
Yeah, I would say, but I think Judge has passed Manning. I think Manning's days, performance wise, and I think PR wise, are past. So I think you're right.
Yeah, true.
But well, look, I'm gonna let you go, but I got to get you back on, and we'll talk about this later in the summer. I got to get you back on so we can talk about launch angle and exit velocity.
And Gene, the other thing we got to talk about, I want you and I to get ready to watch Womogo have to play the Celtics?
Yeah, you know, I do.
For the state championship.
I actually read your column this morning in the New London Day, and I encourage everybody, if you're in Connecticut, you've got to read this guy. He's a great writer. He's got some great insights. We'll talk about that later on as well, because
sounds good.
I know you've got some great thoughts about the CIAC. Mike DeMauro from New London Day, thanks very much for a few minutes this morning.
Thanks.
All right, talk to you soon. That's Mike.